Today's episode is brought to you by Tweaked Audio at tweakedaudio.com. Choose from many colors, many styles, all designed to sound great in your head, no matter what earbuds or accessories you purchase. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and more. We love these guys, been working with them forever, and I know you will too. Save some money when you check out using the code STREAM for 33% off. That's 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. Coming up on TMS, that Big Mac has a dirty past.
Don't shoot your lawnmower.
Oh, where did I leave that skull again?
Twitter cheats.
Wiener nurse.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's new Rocky Road cereal with Choco.
Ta-da!
Van. And featuring Marcia.
I can't believe you're telling me this.
Secret confession.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the Morning Stream for Wednesday, the 30th of July or March. July. Geez, Scott.
That's all right. We're almost done with March, and then you can quit confusing it for July.
Why do I keep doing that? I'm messed up on the time. My time is messed up, son. It's TMS, the Morning Stream. It's our Wednesday fun stuff, so sit down. Everyone's
hump
just sit
day
down.
Edition.
Yeah, hump day. It's hump day, right? Mm-hmm. What do you do to celebrate hump day? Do you hump something, or what do you do?
I really don't do anything. I do Coverville. That's what I do to celebrate hump day.
You know what I was thinking the other day? If human beings are weird, actually all life is weird. All mammal life is weird. Mm-hmm. And why I say that is simply because of what I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
If we didn't have, this isn't anything kids can't hear, okay? I don't think so anyway. But if we didn't have such a drive to procreate, to spread our seed and advance the human population the way that we do. We have a built-in biological imperative.
Big need, right? Uh-huh.
So if we didn't have that, think how weird that looks. Like, people doing it is weird. Like, there's nothing good about it. Like, you just look at it and you go, what the hell? What is this you're doing? Like, it really is frighteningly, terrifyingly gross.
Right. I mean, you know, somebody, you know, as we were evolving, right, as we were evolving from apes and stuff, I mean, somebody had to look at what they were doing and saying, really, this is how we got to do this, huh? I know the apes were doing it before we did. And
they're still doing it.
If you believe in that sort of thing.
Right. Thank you for pointing that out. The emails will
prove
slow.
It, you can't.
We'll slow the emails a little bit from angry people.
Right.
But my point is, it's just weird. It's super weird, and it's kind of crazy. And the fact that there's so much satisfaction in it, and I don't just mean like, that was satisfying. I mean, like, it's emotionally important. It's like crucial to a good marriage. Like, it matters, right? It matters. But in the sort of totally academic view of it,
right,
it looks really, really weird.
Well, I think, and you see that on your dog's face when they're in the room with you.
Yeah, dude.
Pretty much. Because, I mean, they don't, you know, it's not like they, like dogs or any other animal, does it for pleasure.
Yeah.
It's just to, you know, procreate. It's just to spread the seed, so
that's,
to speak.
That's exactly right.
So it's like, you know, dogs look like, God, that's so weird. Yeah. Why are they doing that?
Yeah, or dog. But then dogs, they're like, oh, I'll just poo here on this lawn. I'll just poo in public. Yes. Like, it's nothing. Or
they when go they go back to licking their butt. Exactly.
Yeah. Or when they do it, they just look stupid doing it too. It's just like, here I am making puppies. It's all dumb.
Chris Mikehead in the chat room, our favorite name today, says, dude, you let the dog watch? Well, not voluntarily.
Yeah, sometimes you don't know. They're just in there.
Right.
Sometimes they just sneak in there and you're like, Rainer, Jim Rainer, the female dog, get out of here. check this out. I was thinking yesterday about McDonald's for some reason. I wanted a McDouble. You've had one of those?
I've never had a McDouble, but it's very funny that you bring up McDonald's because I had McDonald's yesterday. The first time I'd had McDonald's probably in about 6 months.
Okay.
And you know what? And you know what pulled me back in?
The make your own burger deal?
No.
Oh.
Freaking Monopoly.
Oh,
freaking Monopoly.
Of course it did.
Yes.
Guys, sit down. I want you to hear something. You need to be sitting down. I want to knock you all out with this information. Brian is a sucker for contests and for promotions. I just
specifically for Monopoly. And I don't know what it is about that stupid, stupid Monopoly. But, you know, I'll say this. Mm. And I know we're going to be talking about the Big Mac. So great. Can't wait to hear this. But I did get a Big Mac meal.
Yeah,
and
like
with
it's got pen ink in it.
What's that?
It's got pen ink in it. The Big Mac.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
All right.
Probably does, actually. Yeah. Yeah. And if you get the large, you get 3 chances to win. I guess I only get the medium, so I only got 2 chances to win. One on my Big Mac box, and then another one on my medium Diet Coke,
yeah.
People.
Yeah.
And I say that like, you know, hey, this is, I'm being healthy. <'Cause> I have a Diet Coke.
Yeah, look at you.
I won too. I won a quarter pounder with cheese and McFlurry on those 2 tickets.
That's all right. That's a heart attack and diabetes right there.
Exactly. Right there. Yeah. One.
All right. I knew you'd be into this. In fact, I've never really talked about
them. High blood pressure.
I'd forgotten they still do this. This is a thing that they still do. But they do. And when you go and you do it, aren't you guaranteed something, like at least like a small fry or something? Like,
no, you're not guaranteed anything.
Well, then it is like gambling. So it is Vegas. So there you go. Brian likes all gambly contests.
I mean, isn't anything like that gambling? I mean, you're getting it free with your food. So it's not like it's not true gambling in the sense that you're not spending money specifically for the chance to win. It's not like a raffle where you're spending money solely for the chance to win. And I think that's why it isn't gambling, because kids can go into McDonald's and buy a Big Mac and
sure. Yeah, no, it's not gambling. You're absolutely right.
There's
but
more gambling going on. I'll say this. There's more gambling going on with the Big Mac itself than there is with the Monopoly game piece on the box.
I don't trust that middle patty. Never have. Something going on there. I don't like
it. Looking at me funny.
Yeah, it is. And yes. So, but I'm going to say this just as a point. Okay.
Right.
When was the last time you went to McDonald's? How long ago?
Like 6 months ago.
Okay. You went in this time for the Monopoly, right?
Right.
So in essence, you did go in to spend money to gamble. Right?
Yes.
Otherwise you wouldn't have gone.
But I wouldn't have just bought the piece, right? I wouldn't say, just give me the how much just for the empty box with the game piece on it.
It to me, I'm going to argue this, even though it's not presented in this way, but it's a bit like free drinks in the casino, because you go in there and you sit down and they're like, yeah, you'll get, well, listen, even if I may spend $20, but I'm going to have all the free drinks, and that's easily $30 or $40 I'll drink.
Couldn't you use the same logic and say when you're buying a box of cereal that has 1 in 4 Power Ranger rings? Or 5, I guess, and you really want the red one, couldn't you argue that buying that box of cereal is gambling as
yes,
well?
Yes, I would argue that is exactly the same thing.
Okay.
I would.
Damn it. I was trying to like...
I think if I'm hunting around for the Pink Ranger ring, because it's the last one I've got, and I'm buying copious boxes of, you know, Fruity Pebbles or whatever, I think that I deserve what I get.
I don't know. Okay, I can't help you.
Listen, all I'm saying is this is actually what I'm getting at, which isn't a negative thing at all. You like a good contest. That's all.
I do like a good contest.
Yeah, yes. You like trivia. You like competing in that way. Like this kind of stuff fits in your wheelhouse, which I think is great. Sure. Like if we're ever in a situation, dude, where I don't know where to go on my picks, I'm gonna call you. Like I'm gonna say, well, Brian, what's the strategy here? Because we do this like with like trivia stuff or like when the movie draft comes around and we're on it or whatever. Like I feel lost in those situations and you always seem to have like, I don't know, not like a, it's not
so
like
I'm
a
your
sense.
Phone a friend basically.
Kind of. Yeah. Oh, totally, dude. I would call if I was at the thing and the lights all came down and went blah blah, and I had to make a decision so that Regis didn't, you know, make a funny face at me. Sure. I would call you and say, Brian, what was Jefferson's third wife's name or whatever? And you'd go,
Wheezy.
Clarice. Wheezy. It may have been Wheezy. I told you my wife is related to his dalliances with one of his slaves.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's only like 1/16th something something, but she's got, that's why she has such great skin and she can tan so easy. She's got pigment that is from an interracial relationship way back in the Jefferson days, and it was him and one of his slave ladies.
I will say, by the way, for the rest, since we're talking about this, that my bracket, my final or my March Madness bracket, I'm playing against a group of 25 people, or I guess 24 people,
okay,
and me. And I'm in third place, and I know absolutely zero about basketball. My bracket was broken in the first, like the second round, because Michigan State, who I have picked going to the finals, got aced out early.
Yeah.
Kansas, who I have going to win it all, got knocked out early.
Yeah.
And but apparently, because I still have Oklahoma and North Carolina in the Final Four, I'm still in it.
You're still in third place. That's in striking distance of winning.
Well, and there is a prize for third place. I think it's going to stay put because the people above me and the people directly below me all have the same situation where they pick Kansas, where they pick Michigan State to go further, all that stuff. So I think I'm sitting pretty with this. And I'll say also for the record, point-wise, in this entire list of 25, and it's this whole scoring thing, you get more points for upsets and stuff.
Sure.
I actually have the second highest point total.
Oh my gosh, look at you.
Like the correct number of picks. But because of the way the points go, I don't have as many bonus points as other people.
I wouldn't even know how to start with a college basketball thing.
You can almost just do the whole, like, you know, first seed beats second seed, you know.
Sure. I could totally just wing it and probably be okay.
You'd lose, but you'd get far.
I could get lucky. I could almost gamble, you might say. Now, right. So case in point, though.
Right.
Brian entered a contest about a collegiate sport has no working knowledge of.
Correct.
But he was attracted by the contest of it all. And again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's great.
No, that is. All right. Maybe the first step is admitting I have a problem.
I love it. I don't think you have a problem. I think you have a very controlled approach to it all. So it's not like you're a freak or something laying on a bench in Vegas.
I was the guy who decided to leave Blackhawk on the bus that Jesus was driving before I spent my entire wad of money in Blackhawk this last weekend. So there you go.
All right.
There's something that does speak to my level of control.
Sure.
I can stop at any time.
Yeah, you can quit anytime you want.
I can quit anytime I want.
Even when you drink, you're very casual, dude. You're like, here's a little bit, but I'm not going crazy. Like, you're a moderate guy. You've never been anything but moderate. And in a way, it's kind of a shining light, because for people, you don't have to go all extreme, everybody. You can play a little the gambly do stuff.
And eat a little McDonald's every 6 months. Sure. Play a little Monopoly.
I like
Big
it.
Mac win.
What's great is this whole thing's been better than the thing I was going to tell you about, which was the original founders of McDonald's were pushed out by the company, and that Arby's is now selling something called Ocean Meat.
What? So Ocean Meat?
If you click that second link.
Oh, it's because their whole, we have the meat. It's their whole, like, slogan.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a...
Have ocean meat.
I'm gonna make what's the word I'm looking for? I'm gonna make a statement here that they are saying we have ocean meat for two reasons. One, they think they're being hip and cool.
Sure.
And two, they don't know what the hell fish is in that.
Well, and it's probably not just one fish, right?
It's
cod, probably a lot of Arctic cod fillets, mm-hmm. with a mixture of carp and
mm-hmm. and the most the
and maybe even a grouper.
The most the deadliest catch sweat from some guy who
right.
pulled it in. Yeah, I don't know if I'd trust this at all. Don't say ocean meat, Arby's. That's gross. I don't eat your food anymore anyway. Every time I eat where you are, I feel gross. Every time I eat there. Those curly fries, just looking at them makes my stomach hurt.
So when single ladies go to the bar, straight women go to the bar, do they say, I'm going to go pick up some nightclub meat?
Exactly. Or just think of what it conjures in your brain. When you say ocean meat, I picture like a semi... porous bag, like a burlap sack with a big piece of meat in it, dragging in the ocean behind some boat, just in the ocean.
It's like that ginormous creature that they found that was like, what was it, a few years ago? It was like this this mass that was floating off the coast of Australia or something.
Oh.
And it turned out to be...
Iggy Azalea.
Well, all right. All right, yes. Yeah. It turned out to be like a living organism, but it was, you know, it had been, I can't remember the whole details, but it was like this big floating mass that I think was like algae, like a mixture of algae and
Hugh Jackman.
Moss and okay. Hugh Jackman, right?
All right, I had to make it equal or else I was going to get in trouble from the Iggy Azalea
people.
Oh,
good, yes, okay. Yeah.
There are two attractive people on both genders I just made fun of. Everyone got that? As PC as I can get.
All right.
Here's the deal.
Ocean meat.
I got one little nitpick to make, and you're going to take, we're going to have a little debate class here about
That's
this.
That's right. Point, counterpoint.
I didn't see this yesterday in those rules. I assume it existed then, and I just didn't see it.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
I didn't know this, but to be considered for the podcast awards, which we talked about at length yesterday, we're not going to do all that again, but to be considered for nomination, shows that want to be nominated have to pay $10 up front to be nominated. It's a very small fee. It's not very much money. $10, big deal. I'm very bothered by the principle of it, though. The idea that, well, if you wanna get in here, there's an entry fee. Well, the entry fee should be your show's good enough to get nominated by listeners and then you're in. Now I understand they need money. I know they're doing the GoFundMe. I'm not sure why what this is for, maybe trophies
this is
or
probably more for the trophies and stuff.
It may be. That sounds like about right. $10 per trophy or something.
Well, no, I mean trophies. It's funny because all right, when we were working on this with Sales Geek.
Yeah.
I'm still working on that, by the way.
Yeah, we're still duplicating trophies, everybody.
That's right. Todd actually said, you know, Todd Cochran, after we won our FilmSec award and we wanted to get awards for all four of us, because they only give you one, obviously. And when we were talking to Todd about, well, how much would it cost to get three more of these? He's like, oh yeah, it's about $350 per award from the manufacturer that we're getting them from.
What?
And we're like,
$350? Is there gold in that base? And I just didn't know it. I'm going to crack it open and look.
Right. It's gold pressed platinum.
That's crazy.
So, you know, I talked to Sales Geek and he's like, oh no, I found a guy who can actually get these things replicated for about, you know, $60 or $70. And it's more if we want to do the actual shape of the podcast award with the little iPod and the RSS feed radiating from it.
Right. You know that early, that late 2002 suite design that everybody loves, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm happy with like kind of the monolith look like they had in the very first podcast awards. I mean, it's a big, you know, it's a big monolith.
I like
clear,
yeah.
Lucite monolith.
Sure.
The one I have back there is that same style.
Right.
And, so, you know, when I'm talking to Sales Geek, it's like, let's just get those. And it's going to be well under $100 for each of those.
Right.
So I guess where I'm going with this is.
Here's where I'm going with it. Give us all PlayStation 4s. If these cost you $350, get us all core PlayStation 4 machines.
Right.
Because, well, good Lord.
So it has to do with, like, if he's getting them in Hawaii, everything's more expensive when you live in Hawaii.
That's true, yeah.
That's so weird. It's a
strange place to live.
Yeah, it is. And it's just so expensive. And, yeah. And I'm wondering if he's having to ship stuff back and forth and who knows. But
well, in the case of, I think the last year's, though, didn't they just have them made in the States, made in the lower 48, and then he got them delivered to Vegas while they were there? Maybe it's different this year because he's got to do it in Hawaii again because it's a remote thing. Anyway, aside from all that, I find it kind of an hideous thing in that rule set.
Yeah.
That it's not only that, you know what, hey Brian, how about this? For $49.99, the TMS and Coverville can go out of legacy status into full vote status. And if you buy a bundle at $99, we'll send you it. Like, that's what this feels like to me.
I think here's the way I think it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know a better way to do it. Cause I mean, he needs to raise money, and unfortunately, there's not a lot. I don't think he gets a lot of sponsors. He gets a Comedy Forecast every year.
Yeah.
Like the very first person to support him is Comedy Forecast. But
I always see my album art up there on the page every year.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's exactly. That's what always draws my attention to it too. Mm-hmm. But can you do it? I wonder if he could do it as like the final 10 nominees in each category. Once they're nominated and they're in the finals,
then they got to pay.
Yeah, see, that's even worse, I think.
Yeah. It's weird. I guess what I'm saying is, okay, here, I'm going to say something a little controversial. If the GoFundMe isn't going to work, if they can't drum up the interest there, and if they can't drum up the interest in sponsorships, and then they can't get the interest they need for $10 a pop or whatever, maybe they shouldn't do it like this. In other words, maybe it doesn't need to... I don't want to say this because I believe something like this should exist, but maybe it shouldn't exist if you can't get it, you can't get it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like if we needed, I don't know, I'm trying to get a good example here. I don't know. If I need to sell a painting on eBay and I want $900 for it and nobody's bidding more than $300, well, then I probably have to pack it in and either take it for $300 or not do it.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that $10 is any big deal. It's not. It's tiny.
Sure.
But it speaks of this weird, like, I don't know, this is like free to play nomination. Like, who gets, somebody on Twitter says, well, you guys should be getting paid $10 per show to even be involved. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, they get way more, Justin suggested this yesterday, they get way more notoriety and way more exposure for the podcast awards because of the shows are talking about it, pushing people to go vote, you know, like we're doing our end of it. And then to come around and say, yeah, we also want some money up front. And oh, by the way, you're a legacy show and you can't win. And blah, 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 blah,
and there's a thing about that too, by the way. So the email I forwarded you a minute ago, and we can talk about this on the show as well. Mm. Let's see here. The podcast award needed changes. All of you getting this mail have won multiple awards over the years. The number one complaint we've received is that the same shows win year after year. While that's not entirely true, for some, at least it appeared that way. Mm. Consulted with nearly 30 podcasters, have created a new set of rules, blah, 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 blah. So here are the four things. Number one, your show earns permanent placement on the podcast awards site.
Okay.
Number two, your show will be designated a legacy show. And he, in parentheses, says open to a different term.
Yeah, they've been getting a lot of heat on the term.
Yeah. And unfortunately, because Podcast Movement has Podcast Hall of Fame, they can't use that term. So
why can't they use it? It's not like copyrighted, is it?
No, but it's confusing. You know, when you've got people like Adam Curry and Leo Laporte added to the Podcast Hall of Fame by the Podcast Movement, you can also have a Podcast Hall of Fame.
So say Podcast Awards Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, that's not a bad, that's totally not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You have permanent membership in the newly formed PCA steering committee, so long as you actively produce a podcast. Committee decides how PCA proceeds in the future, provides third-party oversight of the awards. You can participate as much or as little as you desire. And he's creating a Slack channel where we can all communicate and take place.
All right.
And then the last one, in year one, there is no pay for participation. As the awards grow in stature, my hope is that the steering committee shall earn a small stipend annually.
Okay.
So, you know, for being a legacy podcast, we don't get any pay this year, but we could get pay in the future.
Well, I don't even want pay. I just want the idea that there's an awards thing that is not that is as democratic as possible and that gives people awards for good work. That's it. And if there's not one, that's okay too.
Now, what about this? Here's kind of an idea.
All right.
What if,
hey, we're part of the steering committee. Everybody sit down. We're part of the steering committee. Brian is steering us. Go.
So instead of a trophy, you get a document printed on nice parchment, whatever, that just says winner 2015 podcast award and then your category, right?
Yeah.
Now, at that point, you have an option, and he works with a cheaper producer of trophies than the one he's currently working with. We hook him up with the one that Sales Geek is into.
Yeah.
And you have the option then of paying at that point to say, hey, you know, if you do want a trophy, we've arranged to get a discount from this company on trophies, and you can if you're happy with your parchment printed certificate thing, that's great. If you want a trophy, here's a discount we can get you on actually having one of those produced.
That's a great idea.
And you do that instead of having the pay happen at the beginning.
Yeah. So, I mean, assuming that this pay up front ticket to get in thing is for trophies, and I assume it is.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it is.
Then yeah, that's a great idea. That's a fine. You know what? Steer this boat, Brian. I like your steering. That's not bad. It's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. In fact, there are some cases where I'd be like, you know, I want the People's Choice Award trophy, but I'd probably be okay if my App Slappy Award was a piece of parchment in a frame.
Mm-hmm.
Or none of these things. Clark, be the kind of hero they want you to be, Clark, or don't. You don't owe this planet anything, right? I could take that whole stance here.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. Anyway, it's complicated. Let's just say it that. It's complicated. I don't want to make it sound like this should be easy. It's not. I can't even believe these guys undertake this.
Yeah, it is a huge undertaking, and you know, I know he does this whole thing with still producing a couple weekly shows, and I don't even know what, you know, if he does something, if he has a day job outside of this, because I don't know if he makes enough from Geek News. Geek News Central.
But I think he works for some government contract aerospace something, kind of like like Daryl does, not aerospace, but like military something.
Sure.
Anyway, well, look.
Well, you and I are both on the steering committee. We're going to get in that Slack, and we can, say what's what.
Yeah, and my whole thing here is disclosure and honesty and openness. Like, I don't want anyone just tiptoeing around it. If something's dumb, we should say so, and if something's great, we should say so, and then make it all work. And if it doesn't work, that's okay too. You know, it's fine. We all know what we like.
That's right. We don't need a trophy to prove that that we're good.
No, just a Big Mac and a chance to win
the Monopoly
unit deal. All right, that's that for that. Let's get into the Daryl time swiftly and with haste.
Okay. Did you see what I added here to the header of that section?
I missed it. Where I can't find it. Where'd you put it? Where is it?
I added it to the Stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by.
Oh. So we could
lead right into it.
I'm glad you did that because, as you know, as we know, I'm terrible at this. Okay, here's this, if I can find it. Okay, yeehaw, here we go.
I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Get a flood of calls in. It's Stump Daryl. It's time for that, and it's brought to you by.
Have you heard about Dravet's syndrome? It is just about one of the most terrible syndromes a baby can have. Polymorphic seizures, polymorphic epilepsy, or severe myoclonic epilepsy is what you get. That doesn't sound scary enough. How about only 85% expectancy to reach adulthood? Toby's little boy with Dravet's syndrome. If you want to help Toby, head over to TobysTrust.org and donate. Come on, everybody. There are people out there that don't have to worry about the cold their child got from school last Friday. They have to worry if their child will survive the weekend. That is TobysTrust.org.
All right. Daryl, are you there?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good. It's Daryl Skills. He comes on the show every day, and we do a little trivia with Daryl. It's a good time. We ask him questions about nerdy stuff. And today's interestingly, a Star Trek question, which we'll get to in a minute. But before we talk about that, we have on the line with us a caller who has been lucky enough to get in and possibly win some new prizes today. Who's this?
Hey, it's Sam from Chicago again.
Sam from Chicago. Boy, a lot of Illinois lately. We had Nigel from Illinois yesterday. Now we got you from Chicago, which is also in Illinois. Tom Merritt comes on the show today. He is from Illinois. That's his home state. Like so many Illinois. I'm almost annoyed with the Illinois.
Remember that podcast? Remember the podcast called Illinois?
I don't. What was that?
It was another couples cast. It was...
couples casting.
I know, right?
Weird.
that was a term.
I guess it's still a thing, but the name I haven't heard in a long time.
Right. Yeah, it was... they were funny. And I think I have an audio somewhere of the guy from that show doing an impersonation of me.
Oh, really?
Hello, this is Brian Ibbett, and you're listening to Cover Me.
Here's my version of you. That's pretty good, right?
Oh, that's way better.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Callers, you can stop calling. We have a caller on from Chicago. I keep getting like 100 calls in a row. You're not going to win any better than you were a minute ago.
Right.
All right, so let's explain the rules and the topic. Brian, explain.
I will. So, I'm sorry, caller's name again is?
Sam.
What? Sam. Sam has the chance to win. If he can correctly predict the results of a question we're going to be asking Daryl, you can guess whether Daryl's going to get it right or wrong. And if you are correct after Daryl answers the question, you have the chance to win. Well, you will win our prize pack, which is starting today after a big win yesterday. The Blizzard Diablo keychain is the first item we are adding to this. So if you are a Diablo fan, this is something that you want to put your keys on.
Even if you're
not. No one's going to take it.
Yeah, and even if you're not, it's the devil on your keys.
That's right.
That's really cool.
You've got the devil on your keys.
What's the deal? All right, Daryl. Speaking of the devil. Speaking of the devil, Daryl. There,
that's right.
Daryl's. What's going on? Are you doing all right? What's your day like today? You making big deals? You closing deals? What are you doing?
Yeah, if you say so.
Okay, that sounds about right. We'll never really truly know what Daryl does in his cubicle all day. He'll never tell us because it's all top secrety, you know, government-y weirdness.
When they say top men are working on it, Daryl is one of those top men.
He's the toppest of men.
He is the toppest of men.
All right, toppest of man. Let's talk to you about a question, Brian. Let's hear the subject.
That's right. So, Sam, you're going to decide based on this. The category is Star Trek: The Next Generation.
All right.
Oh, great.
Yeah, right. This is good, though. It could be a big chance of Daryl getting it right, I suppose.
I mean, he technically is the Trek nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Technically.
That's right. So how do you feel? Right or wrong? Do you think he's going to get it correct or not? He's thinking real hard.
Did we lose Sam?
Oh, we lost Sam.
Oh, no.
That's a raw deal. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Sam again.
Oh, good. I'm glad it was you that called back. Sounds like your call got lost.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened.
That's
cool.
Weird. No, it's all right. We're beholden to the powers that be. All right, so do you think he'll get it right or wrong on this Star Trek question?
Well, obviously, it's a Star Trek question, so most likely right, I'm guessing.
Okay. It seems like it, right? Like, I would, if I were in your shoes, your ample shoes, I would say Daryl's going to do all right here. Brian, send me video again. For some reason, that kicked video out for you.
Oh, sure. Of course it did.
I don't know what happened. Daryl, so that's you know what you got to do, buddy. I'm going to give you your question now, and you got to try to get this right for the sake of Sam in Chicago.
Okay.
In the video all of a sudden. Apparently.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, some Skype. Hey, Skype, you're lame today. Quit being lame.
Hey, Skype, come in. Skype, come in.
In the Next Generation episode, A Matter of Perspective, Riker is accused of killing Dr. Nell Apgar. Geordi and his Wesley, sorry, Geordi and Wesley, it's not his Wesley. Geordi and Wesley are helping investigate what happened. They discover a radiation burst on the Enterprise. Geordi tells Wesley, whatever did this is capable of putting a hole in what kind of material? Here are your options, four of them. A, trellium. B, duranium. C, tritanium. Or D, victorium.
Victorium.
So you got trellium, duranium, tritanium, or victorium. Them's your options. I don't know if any of these are real. They may all be fake Star Trek metals. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The duranium sounds... trianium? Or I'm thinking of titanium, but tritanium is like, what, three of those?
That's three titaniums,
yeah,
yes.
Three titaniums. boy, that's way better than one. If you're going to count your titaniums, if you got three.
Jumped right over ditanium.
Yeah, or deutanium, duotanium.
Duotanium.
Yep. So there you go. That's your question. Let's see how you do here.
Okay. I think this is a seventh season episode, and when that happens, who knows what I'll
do. Oh, rough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't worry, Sam. I still feel good about this. Go ahead, Daryl.
What is it? Victorium?
Victorium, V-I-C-T-U-R-I-U-M. Victorium.
Oh, that's too dumb even for the seventh season.
Whoa.
It's like, we build our ships out of this because we want to be victorious.
Yeah.
Well,
that's like unobtainium, isn't it, a little bit?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Tritanium.
Some of these cell phone.
Yeah.
Tritanium is from TOS.
Okay. Oh, so that is a Star Trek metal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that what they make tricorders out of? Why were tricorders called tricorders? Were there three things in them or something?
Yeah, they recorded and they did other things.
Did two other things.
Audio, video, and something else.
Wow. Well, we really were thinking real future there, weren't we? We're going to have devices that'll do three things. I have one that does about a billion things I don't even use. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Trillium. Trillium. I don't remember. It could be that one. Duranium. 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 A hole in what? What's the question again?
that's what we're asking. A hole in what?
A hole in what? Yeah, because Geordi says that this radiation burst was enough to put a hole through one of those four metal surfaces or materials or whatever.
I'm going to say duranium because it's durable and you would expect a hole not to be in that.
That sounds all right to me as far as logic goes. But will he be right? Let's find out.
Probably not.
Well, let's see. I don't know. Let's play this.
Congratulations.
You are correct.
Oh,
you're a winner.
This is from season 3. They investigate a burnt section of the wall. They have no idea what caused it. And here is a clip of all that happening.
Make any sense to you?
I don't recognize it. Not even the main deflector puts out that kind of spillage.
Where would it be coming from?
I don't know, Wes. But whatever it is, it's capable of putting a hole in solid uranium.
Wow. I don't know, Wes. Remember when they called him Wes?
Wes. Yeah.
I hated it.
They call him Jor. Hey, Jor.
Hey, Jor. What's up, Wes? I'm good. Let's go find Reich. I guess Worf. You just say Worf.
Right.
Moog. Let's go find Moog. All right, so there you go.
Sam.
Yeah, good job, Sam. You'll want to get with Brian via email, coverville@gmail.com, and he'll get you all hooked up with your sweet new prize. Tomorrow, the prize package resets again.
Yes.
Well done and congratulations. That's it for him. Daryl, you are the Trek nerd on Twitter. That's been my understanding for a long time. And also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and The Grumpy Cast. And now... you're going to say ga-ga-ga-ga.
Ga-ga-ga.
All right. All right. For some reason, you're not only are you not showing video, but I don't even see an icon for you.
Wow. I don't see an icon in Skype for anything. Like,
that's really weird.
That little top bar has you.
Okay. We're back. Let's do this now. I know what we're going to do this.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the morning news brought to you by.
Brought to you by Coverville, where today on the show we celebrate the birthdays of a bunch of people, including lead singer of, oh my God, I should have had this in front of me, Faces and Small Faces. It's, are we doing Steve Marriott? Hold on, I've got it up here.
Ah, Steve Marriott.
I thought I had this ready, and I didn't.
A Gideon's Bible on every
Lane.
Side table.
Oh, yeah. We're celebrating the birthday of Ronnie Lane, who was going to turn 70. The birthday of Leon Russell, who's turning 75. And this one I'm super excited about. The birthday of Gaz Coombs, the lead singer of the band Supergrass. This is going to be old and new, and it's all going to be awesome. I've been putting songs together since early this week, and I am loving this show already.
Is Gaz Coombs a real name? Is that a fake name?
His real name is Gareth Coombs, but he goes by Gaz.
All right. Like you do when you're Gareth.
Just like you do. Mm-hmm. So stuff from Supergrass, stuff from the Hot Rats, stuff from Faces and Small Faces, because they changed their name, I think, when the tall person left the band. That actually is the true story. And then Leon, we'll close out with Leon Russell. So it should be a great show today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time at coverville.com/live.
Sounds all right to me. Let's talk about this man. He's a man.
Man.
Had his leg blown off while shooting a lawnmower packed with explosives.
Well, you deserve that.
Yeah, it feels like when you do things of that level, that even the Mythbusters wouldn't do in controlled settings, that you're asking for trouble.
The last thing he said before he did this, something like, "Hey, Bob, watch this.
Check this out." You know, that accent's about right. He's in Georgia. Georgia man is who he is. Right. Georgia man. His leg was blown off while shooting at an explosives-packed lawnmower in a horrific stunt captured on video. Authorities say 3 pounds of Tannerite. It's known as Star Trek metal.
We should have had that in the options.
You
always want to use titanium in a case like this.
That's
right. When you shoot in a lawnmower.
I've never heard of Tannerite. Have you?
I haven't either, no.
Let me look that up real quick. Is that like, the first thing that comes up is this Georgia man. Let's see. I'm just looking for what is Tannerite made out of. Okay, here we go. It's a brand name of a binary explosive marketed primarily for making exploding targets for firearm practices. It is a patented combination of ammonium nitrate, and aluminum powder. That's the fuel. Mm-hmm. The other is the oxidizer that is supplied as two separate powders that are then mixed and shaken to produce an explosive. Boy, that'd be fun to shake that up and not worry about dying.
Yeah, right.
He said, let's see, it was loaded in a machine, but he's age 32, began firing at it. A video of the March 19th incident shows Presley, he's all shook up, shooting at the mower in a wooded area while standing uncovered about 40 feet away. Two friends were with him, one of them apparently operating the camera. After a final shot, Presley is off his feet. Moments later, blood is seen spattered across the person's jeans. Authorities say the flying machine part sliced off his leg just below the knee. Call an ambulance, someone yelled.
Jeez. So that's the situation. So it was like it blew up pretty far away, but it sent a flying machine part.
Yeah, like a shrapnel.
Sliced his leg. Good Lord.
Why would you put yourself out there and do that? What's the point of that? I want some video of this. Hey, Bill, why don't you film the whole damn thing?
You know, I was going to throw that lawnmower out, but, you know, be a much better idea.
Yeah,
is
we
to,
should shoot that
take
shit.
Take it and fill it up with Tannerite and go shoot it in the woods.
That's right. Let's take it out back, Billy. All right.
Bill, you got anything else that you want to throw away we can fill up?
So many Southern listeners are mad at us right now.
I'm sure they are.
We love the South. I married a girl from Mississippi. It's all fine. It's stereotypes. Yes. Let us have our fun.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't... You don't say, well, Muffy, I think I'm going to take the lawnmower out back, fill it with Tannerite, and then shoot it in a wooded area.
No, you don't. That wouldn't be the voice you'd use.
No.
So, right. Brian made my point better than I could. This is why we're using that voice.
Right.
Shakespeare in the news. Isn't that a movie with Pepper
Potts? Shakespeare in the news, yes. Shakespeare in the news. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, he was great in that. Topless. Shakespeare's skull is believed to be missing from his grave.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. You know what? I should play a little... I got a little thing for that when that happens. Hold on.
Perfect.
It's missing from his grave. Shakespeare's skull is likely missing from his grave, according to an archaeologist who has concluded that this is true, confirming rumors which have swirled for years about grave robbers and adding to the mystery surrounding the great bard's remains. 400 years after his death and burial at the Church of the Holy Trinity in Stratford-upon-Avon... Central England, researchers were allowed to scan the grave. They scanned it of the England's greatest playwright, the ground penetrating with ground penetrating radar.
Nice.
But in the area under the church floor where the bard's skull was expected to be, they found signs of indifference. Oh, interference. Sorry, indifference. Yeah. We don't care.
It's a 10-yard penalty.
We. It throws up a yellow flag.
That's right.
We have Shakespeare's burial with an odd disturbance at the head, and we have a story that suggests that at some point in history, somebody came in and took the skull of Shakespeare, says archaeologist Kevin Coles. He's from the Stratfordshire University. What would you want that for? I guess just because it's a famous skull, I suppose.
Yeah, and here's the bummer is that it's like you bring people over to show, you know, you bring people over to your house to show them Shakespeare's skull.
Yeah.
Really, I mean... You could do that with any skull. You don't have a certificate of authenticity that says this is Shakespeare's.
Yeah, people do that all the time, I'm guessing, with fake stuff.
Right.
But somebody someplace has it, or it got destroyed, or who knows. Or it's possible.
It's in someone's storage locker.
On that show. They're gonna
Storage Wars. Yeah.
Storage Wars, Texas. They're going to find it in there and go.
Storage Wars, Stratford-upon-Avon.
So I had to call a friend of mine to come in and tell me what the hell this head's from. That show.
Here we go.
That show sucks. Let's see. Oh, here's a story that'll leave you wishing you'd never heard it. Maybe. I don't know. Nurse has been busted. A New York nurse has been busted for taking pictures of a patient's wiener.
Oh, great.
The New York nurse, who took pictures of an unconscious patient's penis, turned in her nursing license, according to the New York State Education Department. Why are they involved? Whatever. The state accepted Kristen Johnson's request, not related, I promise, to surrender her license, according to the March 17th statement. Johnson, quote, did not contest the charge of moral unfitness in the practice, unquote.
Is it Kristen Johnson? I mean, I'm sure it's not the same woman, obviously, because she's an actress and not a...
Was there an actress?
A nurse. Yeah, the woman who was on Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, the big lady. Right, I don't mean the tall lady. Thank you. Yeah, yes. The tall is what I meant. The one that, what's that store in the mall? Lane Bryant. That's why they exist. Yeah, it's for her. She's so tall. She's enormously tall.
She's really tall, yes.
Very interesting lady. Is she still with us here? Yeah, she's still around. Mm-hmm. Look at her.
Yeah.
She's still very tall. No, I liked her. She cracked me up on that show.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Very funny.
No, this is a different Kristen Johnson.
Yeah, I would assume so. Yeah.
You know, after Third Rock, just couldn't get any acting jobs, so I took up nursing and took pictures of wieners. Let's see. She was arrested in May of 2015 also after an investigation concluded she took pictures of two patients at Upstate University Hospital in 2014 and sent them to her coworkers. Why would you do this?
Did she say why she took pictures of them? Like, were they impressive or were they silly looking?
She doesn't say. The only thing I can think of is, I mean, there's only two reasons, right? One is like humiliation factor, like, check out this guy's weird unit, or it's she's into it or something.
Right. Or she just doesn't know how to sext.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm really bad at sexting, Your Honor.
Yeah, her boyfriend said, send me some naked pics. And she took a picture of like some old, you know, stroke patients.
No, I missed of you, damn it.
Not you. Not that man. Johnson initially faced a felony charge. Her sentence was reduced after she agreed to give up her license as part of the plea deal. She will also serve 3 years probation for taking the unlawful surveillance pictures. No word from any of the patients involved. What do you think of my wiener? One of them says.
Should have that blown up.
Yeah, put that on your wall, lady. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back.
Hold on. You skipped. Are we not going to do this story
I missed it. What did I miss? Oh, I did. I'm an idiot. This Twitter thing. Yeah. No, this is good. Hopefully I'm not scooping Tom on this, but when he comes on.
I can't imagine. We'll see, but.
Yeah, he's usually. Twitter stuff doesn't use
more tech, more tech than this, I think.
Yeah. Well, the rumors have been flying around forever that Twitter's going to break their 140 character rule that has made them famous and kind of the only reason you use it. Mm-hmm. But now we have a way for them to skirt that rule a little bit. And they say they're doing it to help the visually impaired. And I believe them. It's not that I don't believe them. This is called alternative text or alt text, although really is just a fancy term for captions. So basically, when you post a photo, Brian, you can add up to 420 character captions to the photo. That's a lot of
really?
Words.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of words, a lot of characters.
Like 420, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, and 420. That's pretty funny. And it's supposed to help visually impaired people because the way that people who are blind read tweets is their device or their computer reads them to them in a robot voice, and this would describe the photo. So if you put up a photo of Donald Trump's hair flopping over to the side and exposing the glue underneath, the photo could say, here is a photo of Donald Trump's hair flopped to the side with glue underneath.
You can clearly see the glue. As we know, the glue is the devil.
Is the leopard, right. So it's interesting, you know? Like, listen, I'm all about best of intentions, and I think it's great that they're doing this for the visually impaired, but it also gives them a little sneak around to add more stuff.
Totally, yeah.
So if you really want to get a rant going.
But you can't see, can you see that caption if, it appears under the photo if you're
It's literally
just viewing it in Twitter. Wow.
Well, okay, that's the big question. Will it be under the photo like a caption would in an article or something, or will they make it true alt text, which means you hover over with a curse.
Over it. Yeah. To see it. Right.
And I wonder about that. And also, what will all the other? I ended up having to dump the Twitter clients I usually use.
Yeah.
I gave them up just to use the official one now because there's so many features that none of them are supporting. I don't know if because Twitter won't let them or because they don't want to, but they're features I want. And I started using the standard client on phone and mobile, and it's fine.
They don't have a desktop app though that is specifically Twitter, right? Like
they have one.
Just use the website.
They have one, but it's not updated past what it was a few years ago. Because it's basically what was it called? Tweet, not Tweety.
TweetDeck is the one I'm using. But
yeah, I use TweetDeck as well. But what was the one and they're not making desktop of that anymore either. Twitter actually owns
Twitterific
what's the other one though? Twitter bought them a long time ago. Anyway. But they hardly. So now, if you go to the Mac App Store and you search for Twitter client or something, that's the one you'll get, and it's okay, but it's nowhere near like the official.
So
stuff.
I should still use TweetDeck.
I think you should use TweetDeck.
Okay.
And by the way, using TweetDeck in a tab on your browser, just as good as the desktop app.
Mm.
All the same features.
Yeah, of course.
It's great.
Captain Kipper says April 15th it will stop working.
What will?
TweetDeck will.
No. The desktop app will. Yes.
Oh. Gotcha.
Yeah. Their statement was, we are no longer supporting desktop versions of TweetDeck. They will continue to support the
app
web
version. Well, see, that's the problem is that I'm using TweetDeck, the desktop version.
Yeah, and you're going to be screwed.
I'm done. I'm screwed.
You're out. So that's what I'm saying. Use it to make a tab and open it up. You'd be surprised. It looks the same. You forget it's even different.
Sure. Well, the problem with that is that I always forget. So like I'll have the way my screen's organized. My browser takes up a good portion of it. Mm-hmm. Over here, I've got Right now it's Textual, the IRC client for chatting with the chat room. And that's also where my finder windows appear. And then the bottom right corner is where TweetDeck appears. So if I were to create a new tab, I'd want to pull that tab out and make it fit that little small square space in the bottom right. The problem with that is that if I forget that that window has focus and I open a new tab from an email or something, it's going to open in that little tiny space down there and I'll have to move it around, you know.
Perfectly valid point.
Yeah, maybe it's...
No, it's a good point. I mean, it's how you use things, and when now they're disrupting the way you use it.
Right.
Anyway, Twitter.
Okay.
Catch it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and an email from a listener. Let's do all of that here shortly, but before, let's insert a layer of music like white goo in an Oreo.
Ooh. Tasty. This one's going out to Colin. Colin says, "Dear Poop Jokes and Brian, last Thanksgiving, my mother lost her three-year battle with multiple myeloma. The past 5 months have had their ups and downs, but TMS has always been a bright spot throughout, and I look forward to listening to the show and all the other Frog Pants shows throughout the week. She was a huge fan of the Beach Boys, so a cover of her favorite song, Good Vibrations, would be great. The Beach Boys was the soundtrack to many summer beach trips going up. I just want to give you guys a big thank you and to keep doing what you're doing. Is it too early to test the ship's phasers? Help, help, it's happening. No. Bye, guys.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
They want all these?
No, you could just give them one, but it's funny. He says, I'm just pandering to everyone's bingo cards now, but I don't give a shit.
All right, nice.
Well done. Love the show, though. Colin, a.k.a. Preparation H, whenever I can make it to the tadpole. I think Preparation H, yeah, he's right there. He's in the chat room right now.
Very nice.
Hello, Prep H, and very, very sorry for to hear about your mom and your loss.
Yeah.
All right, a cover of Good Vibrations by the Beach Boys. Boy, I've got some really bad covers of that song in my library. The two that I was kind of wrestling between are both a cappella versions, one by the King Singers and the other one by this group, Spiral Mouth. I think they do it better, actually. This is from their self-titled album. It is Spiral Mouth and their cover of the Beach Boys, Good Vibrations.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. Oh, I hear the sound of a gentle wood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. Now, softly smile, I know she must be kind. In her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom world. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Aaron Brockovich the shit out of this case.
If you make a deal with somebody, you keep your word.
The Morning Stream. better than dog butt flung poo.
All right, we're back. I've been watching Better Call Saul, so I thought that'd be fun to put in here.
No, good stuff. Love that.
It's really good. I feel like this is the season where they get to shake off. It's its own thing now. It doesn't have to go, ah, remember Breaking Bad? Yeah, man, whatever. This is like its own thing with its own gumption. It doesn't, it no longer lives in that shadow, in my opinion.
Right.
It was good last year, too. I'm not saying it was bad. It's just, it was like, oh, this is that spinoff from Breaking Bad. And now it can just be, no, it's Better Call Saul, and it's its own thing. And I like it. Especially Mike Ehrmantraut.
Oh, he's great.
Okay. Now what? Now, Nicole, now. It's Nicole. And
Kim
now.
Wexler's awesome, too. She's a great character.
Yeah, she's all right. I like her.
I'm just dreading the fact that we never see her in Breaking Bad, so I'm dreading what might happen to her.
Her ultimate end may not be what we want it to be. That's true. Mm-hmm. With a prequel like this, you can... Ooh, yeah.
It could just be that the two of them have a falling out, and you know, and so we never see her, so I'm hoping that's
maybe she
that's
gets all it is. She gets a hold of some bad stevia. And then things go real dark.
That's right.
Who am I getting? Oh, Nicole. Yeah,
Nicole.
I'm having a hard time adding her to this. Okay, there we go. Let's make this happen. Let's make this a reality. Whoa, where'd that go? My music went away. I don't know why. That's weird. Okay. Well, anyway. Let's play. Nothing's working the way it's supposed to today.
Technical errors aplenty today.
Here it is. Oh, Nicole. Spagnolo, everybody, right here, right now. Nicole, what's going
on?
What's going on?
Yay!
Like forever.
How you feeling? Is today the day?
Well, today is the day I can't eat anything.
So 24. Is it 24 hours or 12 hours? What is it? I forget.
I thought it was 24 hours, they had to reschedule my colonoscopy, and it was originally in the morning, and then they called me and they're like, "Oh, we got your insurance wrong. You need to do it here." And we can't do it until this date at 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, F you guys.
Yeah, that sucks.
Okay.
So when they called me, I said, okay, so I have to stop eating at 12:30 on Wednesday. No, all day. I'm like, F you again. So I'm like, right. Two breakfasts I have to make. Yes. I'm like, oh, we're good.
Oh, man, that's rough. I am so sorry. And also, that whole thing sucks. It's not fun. But when you're done, it'll be great. Here's what you need to make sure happens, though. Make sure Mark brings his phone, has his little audio app, and records you when you wake up. Because as we know, you say some real dumb stuff when you're out. Things like this.
That guy on Twitter lied.
I have a lot more than that.
Anyway, it's so funny.
I know, it's so bad.
Oh man,
playing the turtle out of my butt comment.
Maybe I'll just have him live stream it. We can do like a Katie Couric thing.
Oh yeah, do it. Periscope it. That sounds good. I'd pay money.
Colonoscopies, people.
Perfect. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, sounds all right. Well, all right. I hope it goes well for you. Today's recommendals, and we missed you the last couple of weeks. You had a lot going on.
Too
good to have
we
you
went
back.
To Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
Mateo.
Nice.
No, Ava got her 6 month shots. It was just all kinds of stuff.
How was Disneyland? You guys have a good time?
It was really great.
Yeah.
It was a whole lot of fun.
Happiest place on earth is what I hear.
True.
Yeah. Though when you have, you know, problems with your butt, that's so great.
Well, the whole reason I didn't go last year, I went to BlizzCon, was right after my coccyx injury. And so we didn't go to Disneyland.
And Brian, that whole BlizzCon, Brian stood around a lot.
I did. I stood around and I sat on a big inflatable donut.
Yep.
I love that we talk about this stuff. It's so
it's great. We're a big, open, happy family here. Right. Everyone, nothing's off the table. Brian, how's your coccyx now? Better?
It's better. A 2.5 hour movie like Batman versus Superman, I'll still feel it near the end, but it's definitely getting better. But
feeling it near the end. That should be the motto for this.
Yes.
Hey, I think we're gonna go to BlizzCon this year too.
Oh, lovely. That'd be great. That'd be good to get the whole gang back together there and all
ice
hanging
cream
out.
Social.
Yeah, yay. Yeah. That'll be good. Exactly. Bringing the kids or no?
Probably not. They can't go in.
Dang it. That's true.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
And you can't smuggle them in your bag because they check.
Yeah, that's true. Ma'am, your baby's in here. We need to not have that happen.
No laptop and no baby. Sorry.
Those are the rules. We can't help it. Take your shoes off and leave your baby behind. All right, Nicole, let's do recommendals. Remind us the theme that we set like 2 weeks ago.
Here it is. Has to be in black and white. Mm-hmm. And the characters need to either lose their virtue, lose their way, or lose their mind.
Okay, I like all three of those. Great. Well, I've got absolutely the most rule-adhering perfect one I've ever done.
A good deal.
I don't know. Mine's pretty good, too.
Mine's dead on, and it may be yours. I don't know.
Both of yours is going to be better than mine.
We all have the same one.
Well, Brian, let's find out by playing your clip. It's 36 seconds. Any setup here?
Yes, I decided to go to a time when there were a lot more black and white movies. Mm. way back in, this one was released in 1941.
Whoa. All right. Yes. You did go way back.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the click. Clip. Here's the click. Here I am clicking click. I'm going to say another word I don't mean to, so I'm going to quit saying that word. Here we go. Brian's thing.
Who are them blokes what are after you?
You won't believe me when I tell you that I've never before laid eyes on any one of them.
How'd you know they're after you then?
When one's been hunted, my dear child, one develops instincts. I've anticipated the pleasure of meeting you for years. I'm afraid I don't know. Like you, my dear Thorndyke, I've had but one passion in life, and that is the hunting of big game. I'm afraid of the city. The people I can't see.
Where can you go if you can't get out of England?
To a place where I can be invisible and they can't.
And where I don't have to have a proper accent for the place
right.
I'm supposed to
be
from.
And that woman, let me tell you, the worst Cockney accent since ours.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
She's from New Jersey. Yeah, that is, sing here, sing. that's Joan Bennett, by the way, as the woman in this film. But she's from New Jersey, and you can certainly tell it in her Cockney accent that she tries to do throughout the whole film. Mm. It's horrendous.
I have no idea what this is.
It was one that I'd seen on the list, and I'd always wanted to see a Fritz Lang movie, and so we watched Manhunt. Mm. It was made in 1941, before America had entered the war, and the premise is this, and it's kind of cool after watching Man in the High Castle, because there's some kind of parallels here. But the movie takes place in Germany and London, actually Bavaria, where Captain Thorndyke, who you're hearing there in the clip.
That is like the perfect name.
It is, yes. Captain Thorndyke. Mm-hmm. He is on a hunting trip. Mm. And he, you know, he's off in the woods alone. Mm-hmm. And he pulls up his sights and his gun, and he's aiming and realizes, oh, there's Adolf Hitler. Like, and he's really close to Berghof, which was Adolf Hitler's house in Bavaria. Mm. And he could see clearly Adolf Hitler through the sights. And so he's like, kind of as a joke, he pulls the trigger. He doesn't have a round loaded. Mm-hmm. And goes click. And he kind of smiles. And then he thinks about it for a second and says, I could kill Hitler right now. Mm. And so he loads a round in the gun. But before he can shoot it, a German guard spots him and captures him. Mm. And of course, they rough him up. And then kind of the movie goes on from there. It's a big chase movie.
How's the accents for the Germans? Is it good?
Oh, it's good. Yeah, far better. I mean, really, the only accent I have a complaint about is Joan Bennett's. She plays a prostitute named Jerry Stokes.
Ah, see?
See?
Does any Germans scream out, nein?
Nein, schnell.
I'm sure at some point. This is the funny part, is that there's, in a couple parts near the beginning, there's a lot of German spoken, and there aren't subtitles. So Tina and I decided to turn on subtitles to see if they had them there. Yeah. Usually, you know, if it's an English movie and they're German and there's a foreign language, you get subtitles during that section, right?
Sure. Sure.
No, apparently not. So we turned on subtitles on Netflix, and all we got were, in parentheses, German.
Really? That was it?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good enough. I mean, the acting is good enough, and it's short enough periods of time that you easily can tell what's going on, what they're talking about, and what they're wanting to do. Huh. And again, that only took place. That's only like about 30 seconds of dialogue. So it's really easy to figure it out.
Interesting.
I think they did that with Daredevil, too, because I always turn the subtitles on pretty much everything I watch at night because we have the TV low. Mm-hmm. And the Germans, they would just say German,
right? Or the Yakuza.
Yeah. I can't remember. Was it the Russians or the Germans?
Probably the Japanese is the Yakuza.
Wish when I watch like a Van Damme movie, it would say in parentheses, bad acting. Like when there's some, yeah,
just you don't need to pay attention to this.
Yeah, this is really a poor, terrible scene. Close parentheses.
what's cool about this film, though, is that it was done in 1941. So America hadn't even entered the war yet. Okay. And to have a film where the premise, the initial premise of the film is somebody shooting Hitler, it kind of reminds me of the thing with Seth Rogen and James Franco a couple of years back with the interview, right? Where they're taking out Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Because, all right, here is an active leader that is being assassinated or attempted assassination in a film while there's a war going on. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of controversy. This actually raised the ire of a Senate subcommittee about propaganda films. This film did. Mm. It makes all the Germans look bad. So that was kind of why there was some controversy about it. All in all, it's a fun watch. It's Roddy McDowall is in this. So young, you don't even recognize that it's Roddy McDowall. Mm. John Carradine, George Sanders, Walter Pigeon is the main guy.
Oh, wow.
Just a really, really cool classic film. I'd never seen a Fritz Lang film before. The only complaint I have really about the film besides the accent, Joan Bennett's accent, is that the music is edited in a little bit louder than I'd want. And so there's times that the music is just a shade quieter than the dialogue. Mm-hmm. So you've really got to listen closely to hear what they're saying. Mm. But other than that, it's a good watch. It's kind of a fun thing.
All right. I'm wanting to show the kids more old movies. Maybe that's what I'd start with.
Sure. And Captain Thorndike loses his way in the film. That's where I'm going with that.
Is this one of these movies where they, when they kiss, they only do it for about half a second or else the rules are broken?
Exactly. Yes.
Great. Sounds fantastic.
Right. Yes. Even though she's a prostitute, you think, you know.
Yeah. Well... You think you get a longer kiss out of a prostitute.
You get a longer kiss out of a prostitute.
Unless she's...
if you don't pay for the girlfriend experience, then you don't get that.
You know so much about that stuff. All right, I'm going to play a clip of mine. This adheres to the rules and is more modern. This is a film from 2001. Let's see if you guys can figure out what it is.
Sooner or later, everyone needs a haircut. For the kids, there's the butch or the hiney, the flat top, the ivy, the junior contour, and occasionally the executive contour. Me, I don't talk much. I just cut the hair.
You say he was being blackmailed. By who? You don't know. For having an affair. With who? You don't know. Did anyone else know about it? Probably not. You don't know.
You want to test something. You know, scientifically, how the planets go around the sun, why the water comes out of the tap. You gotta look at it. But sometimes you look at it, your looking changes it.
All right. Man. Guesses?
Oh, man.
I don't know it, but the narration at the beginning sounds so familiar. Was that the guy from 11-22-63? Was that Chris Cooper?
Incorrect, sir.
Huh.
If it was very Shawshank Redemption-like.
Well, here's him at the beginning again, see if you can guess who this voice is.
Sooner or later, everyone needs a haircut.
Okay, do you know who that is?
Oh, Billy Bob Thornton.
You're right.
Yeah, now I hear it.
Do you know the movie?
I still don't know it, although...
Like a white movie that he was in?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, now that I see the chat room, I totally know what it is.
It is The Man Who Wasn't There.
Good job, chat room.
It is a British-American noir crime movie. Right? Yep, Joel and Ethan Coen directed.
Yeah.
Sling Blade 2.
I like a good butter biscuit.
That's a good one.
I still call it a Kaiser blade, whatever.
He still likes fried taters. This also has Tony Shalhoub from Wings. I always say that's
Tony Shalhoub. I always say Monk.
Yeah, you got to say Monk or something, but I always say Wings. Anyway, Scarlett Johansson, a much younger Scarlett Johansson's in this, and James Gandolfini. Also regulars you see in a lot of Coen movies, like Francis McDormand, Michael Battaluccio. I don't know how to say his name. Anyway, Richard Jenkins, we all know that guy.
Oh, yeah.
John Polito. Anyway, won Best Director Award at the Cannes Film Festival in 2001, and it is one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. It's one that gets overlooked a lot. I think it was experimental and weird in that it was black and white. It is definitely about a guy who loses his way, in fact, kills a dude. I don't want to give too much away because if people haven't seen this, it's absolutely worth watching without me spoiling it, even though it's this old.
Is it streaming?
It is. It's on Netflix, or was when I watched it, but it was before the last 2 weeks, so hopefully it's still there. Yeah. It's great. I can't say enough about it, actually. It's really, really good. If you want to see a
yeah, it's still there.
Yeah, good.
Man it's, who was. Oh, wait a minute.
The no, man who wasn't was, there should be there.
Okay, the man who was never was is strange.
Oh, what the hell's that? That's weird.
I don't know.
It's a sequel.
The man who never was. It's like
there's a lot of mans. The man from nowhere. The man whose mind exploded. The man with Iron Fist 2. The man who shot Liberty Valance.
There's a lot of men doing things. There's a lot of men doing stuff.
There's no man. What's yours again?
The man who wasn't there.
It's not here.
Oh man, it was. It was streaming. That's where I saw it. Ah. All right. Well, anyway, find it, rent it, whatever you got to do, because it's great and I love it and I can't recommend it enough. All right.
There's also The Man Eater. That's not the one you're talking about.
That's not it either. Nope. No men are eaten, as far as I know. And if you want, I don't know, if you're just into like, it's not like a parody of a noir film, but it's definitely like Coen Brothers all over it. Like it feels like they're making a movie that's full of quirk and weird, but it also feels like a genuine like 1940s era like noir film. It's really, really great. So go see it, watch it, enjoy it. Not so much for the kids, this movie, as it turns out, but totally worth seeing. Only made $18 million at the box office, which makes me sad. Cost $20 million, so they didn't quite make up their money. All right, Nicole, your turn.
All right. I can't believe you guys didn't pick it, but I'm really glad you didn't.
Okay.
So here's my clip. All right. Made in 2005. All right. And it adheres to black and white and all three of the characteristics.
All right.
Wow.
So there's somebody in there that loses their way, loses their virtue, and loses their
mind. Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Here we go.
You goddamn coward.
Maybe we're all here to have a good time.
Yeah.
I gotta take a leak.
Oh.
Wish you'd drop by earlier, Jackie boy. Then you could have met my boyfriend. Could have seen what a real man looks like.
There you go. After my nuts again. But I forgive you. I'm a generous guy.
He is generous. But that temper of his. You never should have picked on him like you did. My temper, you don't have to worry about.
Shut up and keep your hands to yourself or I'll cut your little peck off.
Been told. Hey, baby, I don't hear you making those calls. Answer me. Oh, I don't need to scream.
Hi. I'm Shelley's new boyfriend that I'm out of my mind.
All right. It's Sin City, but I'm almost ready to say cheat because there's a bunch of color in this movie.
Oh, come on now.
There is. Lipstick constantly, like, the yellow bastard guy.
But in all, I mean, it is a black and white movie with spot color.
Yeah. Sure, Bruce Willis's scenes, he's kind of got like face, like orange tint to his face.
I can't believe that of all people, you are questioning the validity.
All right, I'm not allowed to do that. That is correct. I will give you that.
Yeah, but, I think totally fine. And holy cow, that's the gal from Clueless that passed away, right?
Yes.
Yes, that was Brittany Murphy.
Brittany Murphy, right.
She was
streaming on Amazon Prime.
She was on.
I totally forgot.
She was on King of the Hill. Well. She played, what was the King of the Hill girl? The niece. Crap.
Bobby's
cousin.
Right.
Uncle Hank. You also have Jessica Honest Alba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was Rosario Dawson, Benicio del Toro? That was her boyfriend.
Luann, by the way, was Brittany Murphy.
Luann, that's it. Yeah. Who played Marv?
The wrestler. Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah. Oh, weirdo guy who he has a fight scene with, and he doesn't scream. What's his name?
Not the yellow. Wilford.
Or Will. You know, the show Wilford, the dog.
I never saw that.
Oh, yeah. Lucas. Or not Lucas Haas.
Not that guy. The other guy.
It's Frodo. Yes.
Frodo.
Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
He's in it.
He's the yellow bastard. Yeah.
No.
The yellow bastard.
No. That's right.
The yellow bastard's played by the kid.
He was the non-yellow bastard.
Yeah, the yellow bastard's played by the kid that's in trouble. Well, he's not a kid anymore, but he's in trouble all the time now. He's like got all kinds of drug problems. But
he was the guy from Carnival. He was also in Terminator
3.
Three?
Yeah. Third one, the terrible one. Yeah.
Josh Hartnett's in this. Michael Clark Duncan.
Josh who?
Josh Hartnett.
Wait, say it again.
Hartnett.
I just want to make sure I heard it that way. Okay. All right.
Now I see where you're going.
It's Hartnett, but that's okay. We'll take Hartnett. It's fine. Hartnett.
You go. No. Goodnick Hartnett. I forgot about all the great people in this thing. Wow. Of course, you got Bruce Willis. You got Jamie King.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love this movie. It's told really well. It's the stylized. That's why I was excited when Sin City 2, basically, A Dame to Kill For, came out.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy it as much.
No, you're not alone. That movie tanked. People did not like it.
I didn't see it either.
The problem with the second one, it was just, there was some good parts to it, but they did not spend enough time on the earlier stories, and they went back to Jessica Alba's story and spent way too much time on that one.
Oh, really?
Okay. Mm. And I just like, who cares? There was a lot of who cares in that, but there were a number. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's story in the second one. Loved it. I wanted more of it.
Yeah. I forgot he was in that. Yeah. That's unfortunate. Reviewers hated it too.
I still liked it. It just definitely did not live up to the first one for me.
Well, the comic is awesome. Totally worth
and
reading.
Frank Miller was involved in obviously he was involved in Sin City. Was he also involved? I mean, movie wise, he was very much involved in directing Sin City. Was he also involved in as much in Dame to Kill For?
I'm sure he was, right?
Who was it?
Frank Miller, the writer of the original comic.
Both Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller reunited for it.
Okay, good.
That makes sense. They're buddies. Mm-hmm. They hang out and stuff. Yeah. Frank Miller's there to make sure that Robert Rodriguez is never not wearing a hat.
That's right.
It's worth a watch, Brian. Like,
well, I do want to see
Sin City. It's like, rent it, $10, whatever.
I'm sure it's on.
I think you can buy it.
It's got to be on some streaming.
Buy it for $10.
Yeah, I'm sure I could, actually.
Yeah. A good movie. That's a fine recommendation.
Yes.
All right, now's the time for us to pick next week's theme.
Yay.
Where's my cards?
I don't know, but imagine yourself saying, "Where's my cards?" That's what it's going to sound like later when you come out of your. You're gonna go,
Where did I park my cards?
Okay, here we go. All right, I'll do a production.
Okay.
And a scene.
All right. Okay. I like it.
Let's see what this is.
Like the cut of your jib.
Production. What the heck? A title that begins with G-H-I-J-K or L.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. I thought for a second there it had to begin with G-H-I.
Yeah.
And then the scene is something is created.
Okay. All right. Then it has to be a scene where something is created, not a movie where that's the theme.
Yeah, it's just a scene.
Okay. You probably cheat that
G-H-
one.
So basically G through L.
G through L.
Okay.
And this can be a full color film, right?
Yeah. It can be black and white.
Right. Oh, right. So black and white's okay.
It could do that. Yeah.
Well, then I can't use Sin City or Schindler's List because there's a little bit of color in those movies.
You know what?
I kid, jeez. I joke. I joke, I kid.
I have a feeling you're going to be like, I got to cheat on this one.
I might have to cheat.
I didn't watch anything. I'm just going to tell you what I've been watching.
Yeah. So instead, let's talk about reruns of Dick Van Dyke Show. All right, that sounds fun. That'll be great. Recommendals is a thing I love, and I can't wait to do it again. Nicole, good luck with your procedure. It'll be fine. Yes. Having been through this, you'll do
hopefully,
great.
Hopefully, you know, if you have listeners that are like going, I don't really don't want to do that, do it.
Just get it over with.
My grandmother died of colon cancer at 45, which is why I'm going to be 40, and I need to get that stuff checked out.
That's right. It's important. It's part of you. It's how do you. It's how you live, man. You can't not ignore it. Don't ignore it.
Don't ignore it. Don't ignore your butt.
Brian, it's your turn. You got to go in and get a tube up your
can't bum. Wait to do it.
All right.
Probably when I get closer to 50, but yeah.
All right. Sounds
it's on
good.
It's on my bucket list.
It's on your butt kit list.
Bucket list.
Bucket list.
Me and Josh Harknett are going to go get it.
Nicole Spag on Twitter. Follow her there because she'll likely post about this and many more things right after this.
Yeah, I don't know what I'll post, but it should be interesting.
Whatever you can. We'll talk to you later. Bye now. All right, Brian.
All right.
Tom time. You ready for this? Tom time?
I am ready for Tom time. Gosh, I hope he doesn't want to talk about Twitter.
yeah, that'd be a bummer. Although... I mean, you know, whatever. His take is his hot lick.
He'll add something new to it anyway. So yes, of course.
Sure, it'd be totally fine. Here's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
From the man with the plan. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. You know, you just touched your ear because you got like a little ear thing in there, right?
Yes, that's exactly right, Scott.
The reason I ask is I love the so the rest of us are all wearing dumb headphones most of the time when we podcast, and Tom has figured out how to like transcend that, become a true broadcaster podcaster. Yeah, I like it. I need to get something like
that. It's just an IFB. It's a really ridiculously expensive how much they sell these things for. It's like $40, but they have good sound. They fit behind the ear, and they're always needing adjustment.
Is it is it the one ear? Is that all you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right in there.
All right.
It makes Scott, or it makes Tom look like he's in the Secret Service.
Yeah, I like it. It's actually kind of awesome.
Eliminate. Pivot.
Bald guy down by the front. Get him.
You said too much. Got it.
The rooster is in.
Go. All right. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Comes on the show, talks about technology, all this leading up to today's epic, I'm sure, episode of the Daily Tech News Show, which I will be on because Wednesday is my day, and I love doing it. Yeah, it makes it epic. What's on tap? What poked you this morning in the face and said, hey, look at me?
My dog, Sawyer, literally. How do you know that? That's really weird.
Weird.
And he spoke English. No, the Microsoft Build conference is happening. This is their big developers conference, and no one is expecting them to make any like huge surprising announcements. But if you're a developer who likes to use Linux, there was sort of a surprising announcement, although ZDNet had the details before the conference started, that Bash, which is the shell for command line on Linux, and actually you use similar commands in OS X, basically Bash on OS X, is now integrated into Windows 10, or will be, so that you can just run your LS instead of DIR when you want to list your directory contents.
Oh, well, that seems all right. I mean, look, if Microsoft... So this is like their version of I/O, basically, right?
Well, yeah. It's I/O, WWDC, Build. Those are the big three developers. F8 for Facebook, I guess.
And this is the thing where Microsoft famously had what's his name come out and yell developers a bunch and sweat a lot, right? Isn't this the one?
You know, that was a developers conference. I don't remember if they called it Build back then. Now, off the top of my head, but yeah, essentially.
Do you expect at this thing, which is again these things, these all three that we
weird
just
for him to do that at an investors conference?
It would be, especially that he's not there anymore and he should be at a Clippers game. But anyway, what do you see beyond this? In other words, is this a place where Microsoft can come out and show us a new demo of HoloLens or?
Oh,
talk
yeah.
about
yeah.
other
no,
strategies.
We will definitely be seeing HoloLens. They haven't got to it quite yet. Although Phil Spencer's up on stage right now talking about some Xbox stuff. They're talking a lot about universal apps. They've made a couple of oblique references to Sweeney's criticism of the open platform, continually calling it open platform. They took a swipe at Apple, too, saying even your five-year-old PCs will run this, because Apple famously said something about five-year-old PCs are sad in their announcement last week.
Yeah.
They also announced that the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition will be coming to free to anybody who has Windows 10 this summer. But the big thing, Bloomberg had a big write-up interview with Satya Nadella about conversational bots. And that is expected to be coming up. Probably that'll be their big finale in the keynote, which is an open platform to develop bots for messaging apps. And Nadella, basically in October, on a trip with one of his executives, was being showed all these AIs that were being experimented with and decided to make this a priority. So according to this article on Bloomberg, they're going to do things like integrate bots into Skype. So they're going to show off a Domino's app where you could be in Skype, say, man, I'm hungry, Brian, let's order a pizza. And Brian will be like, well, I'm not in the same state as you, but I'll order a pizza too. And then you could both go to the Skype bot and just say, give me an extra large with half pepperoni, half sausage. And
so
it would
automatically recognize you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a little bit of setup, but instead of opening an app, logging in, choosing a drop-down menu, the idea with conversational bots, and we talked with Matt Hartman about this on DTNS Monday, is in certain situations, it's much more efficient to just have a textual conversation with something that understands you.
Yeah, I'm all for this when it works, and I think we're actually finally to the place where this can start working. But will the this Tay mess that they kind of had with it sounds like that's the technology they're fiddling with. Does this cast any shadows on what they'd say today? At least in your opinion.
No, I think Tay was supposed to be, and unfortunately it's not ended up being what they wanted. Tay was supposed to be a demonstration of, here's one kind of fun thing we could do, mm-hmm. but we could also do these other things. Obviously, Tay was left open to learn. It's an experiment of a certain kind. And honestly, as despicable as what Tay was spewing the other day was, it was a big learning experience for Microsoft, and they're treating it as such. Apparently last night, Tay turned on by accident during the testing and started saying gibberish again.
Oh no, Tay is becoming self-aware.
Yeah, possibly. But these other bots are more, I mean, there's lots of bots like this already out there. In fact, Microsoft has a Chinese version of Tay called Zhaoice that's been available for 18 months, has 40 million users. And that one so far has evaded an even stricter climate of what it can say. Mm. So conversations with Zhaoice average about 23 exchanges per session. There's also the ability to do photos. One example in the Bloomberg article was snap a photo of your dress and then tell the bot, find me matching strappy sandals in size 7.5. And then you can do some shopping.
Does it get confused and wonder if it's black or gold? Or?
I was just about to make the same joke.
I'm sorry, but I can't tell if that's black or blue. All right.
The hex value is this, but the perceived color is this.
Well, that's very interesting. And I don't know. I've said this before, but I like everything Microsoft seems to be doing in the last few years. There's a few exceptions.
Just now, they announced that with the Windows 10 anniversary update, they'll add a single unified store across devices, and that includes Xbox One.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
They are trying to close that whole ecosystem gap with
and
these other...
And bringing Cortana to Xbox One as well.
Oh, good. A thing we all use on Windows 10 constantly, right? I know I am. Mm-hmm. So the anniversary edition...
Lippy's grandchild.
What are the other advantages of that? I actually haven't heard much about anniversary edition. Are there other tweaks? Is this like a big service pack type thing?
Most of what they announced today revolved around ink. Mm-hmm. The ability to do some handwriting recognition and more than that, use the stylus in a more efficient way. It's a little clunky right now, so they've got a lot of improvements to that. In their demo, it looked like there would be a new notification center, et cetera. Didn't seem like they had a ton of details about what's coming, but yeah, lots of improvements.
Well, all right. I'll bet there will be plenty of Microsoft in the frosted cake we eat today on DTNS at 2:30 Mountain Time.
Yep, we'll cover the major stuff in the headlines, and who knows what we'll be discussing in our discussion section. Only Scott and I of the future know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and Slack will soon know, and then Roger will know.
Right,
and
right.
And then people like Jenny will know, and and then we'll all know. But right now, nobody knows.
Right now. Now is this one point where nobody knows.
Enjoy.
Yeah, enjoy this point in time.
Bask in this blissful ignorance.
Tom Merritt, I'm very excited about an InkShares project you have going on. Please tell the fine people at home how they can support it and get behind it.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of InkShares, the deal is it kind of mixes a little bit of Kickstarter with a little bit of Amazon self-publishing, CreateSpace type publishing. So what you do is you put your work up there and you've got a page that's got kind of a Kickstarter-like page. And you say, look, if I can get 250 people to commit to pre-order the book, it'll get published. InkShares will do a light edit on it, and they'll put it out with an ISBN, and they'll put out an ebook, just like any self-publisher would do. But you just do a royalty split. So it's very similar, but it's saying, hey, this is worth a little extra work, so you get a little extra help. If you get 750 people to pre-order within the 90-day period of time, then you can actually get the full-on publishing, because InkShares offers a publishing service. They are a publisher that puts books in physical bookstores and markets them and does full edits and content edits and everything. So I'm hoping that my book, Pilot X, can get to that 750 mark and get the full publishing deal. We were talking about time travel just now. If a book about a time-traveling guy and his pal, the Time Ship, tooling around the universe, trying to stop a time war. Maybe the race that he is a member of isn't so trustworthy after all, and he has some moral quandaries that he has to fight through. That sounds interesting. Just go to InkShares, search for Pilot X, read a couple of the sample chapters, and if you like it, pre-order it.
Yeah, I think they should, and better, and go and do it. Again, inkshares.com and search for Tom Merritt. That's what I just did, and I found it. It took me 5 seconds, or you can go to tommerrittbooks.com.
Yeah, Inkshares also deserves credit for actually having a working search engine, which you can't always say about sites.
I can say that about very few sites, it turns out.
Right.
All right, awesome stuff. I will see you later today for DTNS. Everybody check us out, 2:30 Mountain Time. Tom Merritt, everybody.
Thanks, y'all.
Take it easy.
See you.
Bye. All right. Brian, we close out today with a final email.
Okay.
That goes like this, from Paul. Where did Scott get the word chode from? What does it mean? Well, Paul, I do have a frequent use of the word chode. If I'm trying to say, man, that guy's such a chode, I'll say that a lot.
It's like a derogatory term.
Yeah, it's never like more
douche.
It's like equivalent
to douche.
Very good. Yeah, very, very much equivalent to douche. Now, chode for me was a word that high school created. That's where I heard it first. Mm-hmm. And so I've been using it ever since those heady days at Brighton High School. Which, by the way, is being demolished and rebuilt, which is weird. I guess they have earthquake issues or something. So anyway. I just have always said it. Now, if you go look on Urban Dictionary, or maybe German Dictionary, I don't know.
Javon?
Javon. Oh, look at this. We have chode definition. If you go over there and look, you'll have a whole eyeful of what people think it means.
Yeah, don't image search chode, probably.
Yeah, don't search for chode. Yeah, please don't search for chode. But I'll just say that I never mean it in those meanings. I only mean it as like you're a dork or you're a jerk.
Like usually another term for the taint, right?
I don't know, is it?
Yeah, that's why I've always understood it as
Do people
alternate taint. It's a synonym of taint.
Okay, cinnamon taint. Cinnamon taint. All right. Anyway, that's it, chode. That's why I say chode. If you don't want to know where I got it from, it's because we used to give each other a hard time in high school. Dude, you're such a chode, we'd say. That's what we'd say. Or dude, you're such a douche or whatever. All right, that's it. If you'd like to send emails as smart as that one in, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. And, of course, we take your phone calls at 801-471-0462. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS, and you can support us at patreon.com/TMS. We are nearly out of that second run of mugs, so if you want those commemorative 1,000-episode mugs or to upgrade to them in your current Patreon contribution, you can do that, but do it quick because they're going away. Frogpants.com/store for details. Follow Brian on Twitter, @Coverville. Me at Scott Johnson, show at Morning Stream. That's going to do it. Let's leave with music. Do you have some?
I do. Dan wrote in. He goes by Baron in the Tadpole when he can be here. Hello, Scoot and Brain. I've been listening for a while and lurking around the chat and Facebook groups when I can. I just want to say thank you for all that you both do. As I don't know if I could have gone through the stress of losing my job, switching careers, and finding something much better without the daily levity of TMS. Today is my birthday, but I've stopped really caring about those because really, 37 is super old and I still think of myself as that kid in his 20s who has no idea what's going on. Really, man, if 37 seems super old to you, then what do we seem like? I was hoping to hear something from Pentatonix, but if not, something clever about that silly sandwich song.
Sandwich. All right. Tell you what, since you've just made it that loose, how about this one right here? Sandwich. Blah, blah, blah. That.
Nice.
I don't remember what that was about. Anyway,
always be like John Woo and Dove the Slow-Mo. Signed, Dan.
Sorry, this one instead.
Nothing but a crap sandwich.
There you go.
Perfect. Yeah. All right, so something by Pentatonix. Certainly. We've played their Daft Punk cover before. We've played their cover of Radioactive on the show before. Something new and kind of something old. This one came out back, boy, seems like forever ago, back in 2014, that everyone was covering this song. This is Pentatonix from their Volume 1 Covers CD, with somebody that I used to know.
Think of when we were together, like
when you said you felt so happy you could die. I told myself that you were right for me. We felt so lonely in your company. But that was love and that's an ache I still remember.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Mad Max Fury, damn it.